Welcome to the Cigar Lounge, the official podcast of the Cigar Peg, where you get to know your friends a little better, learn a little bit more about each other, and grow as a community. Today, we welcome Lisa Ryan into the Cigar Lounge. Lisa, how are you today?
I am fantastic. Joe, thanks for asking.
Glad you are here. You know, you're one of those people that's out there. Everyone knows you're out working all the time. You're busy bee. Tell us, and I know some people know, but some don't. What is your market? What are you doing?
I work primarily with manufacturing and skilled trade construction type associations to help their members keep their top talent from becoming someone else's. So focusing on employee retention and primarily a blue collar market.
How did you find yourself in the manufacturing world?
Yeah, I spent 13 years in industrial sales, including 7 years in the welding industry. And yes, I do weld. And it really was that being around passionate people that made things and just loved what they did in areas where nobody else really considered what they were doing. And I think we need to change the conversation to attract more people into manufacturing and into industry. So that's also part of my mission.
Well, when did you decide to, I want to say, stop welding and become a speaker?
Well, from the welding, I left the welding industry in 2003, primarily because I got into a huge fight with my boss. He was looking to bring somebody into my market. And I was like, I don't want some newbie coming into my market. Don't do it. And Dale and I got into a huge knockdown, drag out fight, F-bombs flying all over the place. And I got so mad at him, I decided to put together my resume to see how marketable I was. And I found that with 17 years of sales experience and an MBA, I was pretty marketable. So I left the welding industry to go into healthcare. But circling back to Dale, he is still one of my dearest friends, which is the sign of a really great boss. And as a matter of fact, I just talked to him this morning. So it was a change. And then when I was in my medical sales career for the next 7 years, that position was eliminated via group conference call with 12 of us getting canned at the same time. So I decided that no company would ever do that to me again. And I started my speaking business on that day, which was October 12th, 2010.
Now, did you start off directly just as a speaker or did you start off doing any consulting?
No, primarily a speaker. I mean, at that point, I spoke to every Kiwanis, Rotary, Chamber, anybody that would have me. And a couple of years, and then after my medical sales position was eliminated, I did some contract training for a presentation skills company for about 2 years. And then I decided once again to try it on my own. And just before I starved to death, I joined national seminars and did more contract training while I continued to work on my speaking business. And in 2017, so I had worked with National Seminars / SkillPath for 3 years and 1 month, okay, which was an appropriate amount of time. And by 2017, I took myself off the road for them because at that point, that's when I was really focusing on manufacturing and the gates of heaven were opening and the angels were singing.
Well, I'm sure they were not opening on their own. I know you, and I'm sure you were pulling them open.
Yes.
I was going to say, there's no way they just opened without your hand on them. And let me say, so when you say they started open, we all know you. You're an aggressive marketer. What did you start to do that really made it click for you?
Well, I chose a market. I think that because before, for the first 7 years of my speaking career, I focused on HR. So it was real general. I was speaking at a lot of SHRM, which is a Society for Human Resource Managers. And I was getting breakout sessions at their national conferences, but I just wasn't getting keynotes. And when I decided to focus on my, on my background, which was manufacturing, I went to NAM, which is the National Association of Manufacturers. I discovered they had a list of all of their members on their website. So I downloaded that list and I hired some guy in some third world country for $3 an hour to mine that list and get all the information that I needed with a phone number and contact name and event dates and all of that. And then I started cold calling the list. And in February of 2017, I closed a keynote on a cold call. It was my very first manufacturing, and I used that one to get the next one, to get the next one. And, you know, that list that I paid, $63 for has literally made me hundreds of thousands of dollars. So that was a good investment in time.
Absolutely. Okay, you start speaking, you're doing all this. Who would you say during this time was your biggest supporter, mentor, role model? Who was it that you looked at that helped you the most?
Well, I'm really, really glad through all of this that I have a supportive husband. I mean, my husband has always been, you know, he's the one that keeps the benefits. He's the one that has the stable income. And even when my medical sales position went away, I thought that he would be like, oh, girlfriend, you are going back to work. But that whole happy wife, happy life thing, he really has been my biggest support. And it's been through, some really tough years, maxing out 17 credit cards, chalking up $120,000 in credit card debt that he did not know about, and getting audited by the IRS. And through all of that, he said, honey, keep going. And he, occasionally will come and see me speak and loves to be there. And I could not have done this without him.
That's awesome. Very good. Okay, so getting audited by the IRS is big, but that also leads me, let's keep the IRS out of the question and say, what would you say is the biggest mistake or failure that you've had along the way? And what did you learn from it?
Well, at the beginning, and one of the reasons why I chalked up so much debt is I did this thing I like to call buying hope. You know, if I just get this one more program, if I just invest in this one more coach, if I just buy this one, marketing thing, then that will be everything that I need. And there's only one or two really bad investments that I made, but for the most part, it was all part of the process. And the main thing is that I just did the work. I prospect every day. I make calls. I send emails. I send books through the mail, snail mail, video emails. I mean, you name it. These people, they hear from me until they hire me, or put out a restraining order.
and I know. I mean, I've heard your program Smiling and Dialing, and I've heard you talk about how much you do. What do you do when you wake up in the morning and you just feel like you're stuck in the mud and you're not going to go anywhere? What do you do?
Well, yesterday is probably a really good example. I just came off of literally a month of solid travel. It was just, I had a great, fantastic month, but it was yesterday I was like, I need to get caught up on stuff. And then I said, you know what? Screw it. I'm going to go get a facial. And then I'm going to go to Recharge, which is a local place where I can go through all kinds of therapies. So I just, did like the red bed and some infrared treatments. And then I hung out in the backyard and my husband and I watched TV on a stick. So there are days where I'm just like, okay, I'm done. And I give myself the gift of a break.
Okay. And this, I have to ask, what's a red bed?
A red bed is Imagine what a tanning bed looks like, except in it, it's red light, and it's supposed to be good for like blood circulation, and okay. It's good for the skin. And so it's just, you basically just lay there and listen to a podcast and, you know, get red light in a red light. It doesn't tan you. And, you know, as you can see from my alabaster skin.
Yes, I know. I've never heard of red light. So that'll give me something to research this afternoon, and everybody can go off on tangents down YouTube finding out about red beds now. So you're sitting here now, and if you had the opportunity to go back in time and look at yourself as a 16-year-old and say, here's advice you need right here and now to be successful in your life, what advice would you give a 16-year-old Lisa Ryan?
Boy, wow. That is, I don't know. Because I was always kind of a little bit of an outcast in high school. So when I was 16, I mean, when I was 16, I was dating my first husband and he was 20. So all of my friends were older than me. And I had very few friends my own age. I really didn't like high school. I did well in it. I just didn't like it very much. So I think that I would just say that, you know what, you're okay being who you are. And it doesn't matter that people don't necessarily, you know, people your own age don't necessarily accept you, because you're going to be okay.
Very good. And moving on, as you went on in life, is there a point where you would tell yourself, change your career direction now, don't wait another 6 months, don't wait another year? Would you have ever given yourself advice to move on from your various careers sooner than you actually ended them?
I think that my biggest life change came with a phone call that I received one day. It turned out that it was from a Hell's Angel, and he was looking for the money that my ex-husband owed him for the cocaine that he was dealing for him and hadn't quite paid yet. So at the end of that phone call, I knew that my marriage needed to be over. And I also started looking at my life and where I was. I was working in an office as a data entry support specialist and in an executive recruiting firm. And I noticed that people with college degrees made more money than people without college degrees. So after I was divorced, I started to go back to school. I was the first one in my family to go to college. It was never even discussed. I mean, I had no friends in high school that were going to college. It never crossed my mind until after that. And then for the next 14 years, I pursued my education. It took me 8 years to get an associate degree. Well, because I took I took a quarter off and didn't go back for 4 years, but right. You know, was the first one in my family to get any degree of any kind. And like I said, 14 years later, I have an MBA. So I don't think that if I would have stayed married to Jeff, that any of that would have happened. So making that decision, you know, a year and a half after I got married, Halloween of 1987, still the most fun wedding I've ever been to. I don't think that if I would have made that decision when I was, we got married at 21, got divorced at 23. So I was like 22 years old when I just decided this, you know, life's got to change.
Well, if you, when you talk to your 16-year-old self, if you had said, hey, don't marry this guy, go to college, where would you be right now, Lisa?
Well, the funny thing is that, I met Jeff when I was 14. We started dating when I was 16. We got engaged at 19, married at 23 and divorced at 25. Okay, so I'm a little bit off in my years. But as I was walking down the aisle, I mean, before I even got married, I was pacing back and forth saying, this is the stupidest thing I've ever done in my whole life. My friends are like, you know, oh, it's okay. You're just nervous. I'm like, no, this is stupid. We're going to be divorced in no time. So, as I was clawing my dad's arm, walking down the aisle. But I also had this little ray of hope that I could change him, even though he was addicted to drugs, alcohol, and gambling. I guess my 23-year-old self just didn't have that magical power.
Ah, the 23-year-old self just liked the whole bad girl thing, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. So, still do.
Yeah, that's what happens. So let me ask you this. Going through the stuff you've gone through, what do you find as your biggest inspiration as you go through tough times, yesterday, today, whenever?
Well, it's really what I've based my business on, and that's on gratitude. Starting my gratitude journal in 2009, as a result of going on a fire walk with Tony Robbins with some friends, and we started a gratitude practice, and that gets me through. It got me through COVID. It got me through the bad days, because it has literally, I believe, rewired my brain so that when everything feels like it's falling to crap, I can take a moment and think about one good thing or one thing that I'm grateful for. And there's always some consistencies in my life. Like I said, with my husband, I just have a great life. I have great cats. I have really close friends. I have Cigar Peg. So I have a lot of people who have helped me in my career. But yeah, there's days when it's just hard. So I think that single practice, more than anything else, is what has gotten me through.
And skip a beat, cats' names, how many cats?
Two, Tinkerbell, world's greatest cat, and Simba.
Nice. All right, and you got to ask, people want to know these things. Right now, I want to say, sitting where you are today, do you consider yourself successful?
Yeah, I am. I mean, I'm not making gazillions of dollars in my speaking business. And I also am at a really good point where I'm speaking as much as I want to speak. I'm getting, for the most part, a lot bigger fees than I've ever gotten before. And I want to speak about 50 times a year in person. So 40 to 50 in-person events. I still do, a lot of virtual events. I still do some HR law, believe it or not, with SkillPath a couple times a month. And, but I have, our house is paid off. I haven't had a car payment since 2016. I have a fantastic husband who adores me and I adore him. We have two cats. I like where I live. I still have both of my parents on the planet. I have really close friends. So I think overall, then, yeah, I am in the world, according to Lisa Ryan, and where I want to be, I think I'm really successful.
Perfect. When did it ever cross? Did it ever cross your mind where you went, oh my God, I'm where I want to be. This is so cool. And when did that ever happen?
I think it's part of the gratitude practice of just taking that couple minutes every day and acknowledging the good that's in your life. I think that in 2020, again, I mean, and there was some really dark times in 2020, but in August of 2020, Scott and I had gotten one of the stimulus checks. I think the first one, whatever it was, for $2,400. And that was what we used to pay off our house. So okay. I was like, Uncle Sam. Now we only had a couple months left, but it was still kind of cool that Uncle Sam came. Yeah. But I remember it was January of 2021. I mean, I started my podcast. I did a employee retention summit for manufacturers. I took up painting, acrylic painting. So I was keeping myself busy. But January of 2021, it was really dark for me. I mean, it was just, I was so depressed and I didn't know when my next speaking engagement was going to happen. And I remember walking down the stairs going, I need to find a job. So I went on LinkedIn, and wouldn't you know it, a local company posted that they were looking for a producer to work with some of their, you know, to be behind the scenes on Zoom and Adobe Connect. And it was 8 to 20 hours a week, and it was $22 an hour. Okay, fine. And I did that. I and they were looking for somebody with all kinds of technical expertise, but I told them, I said, what you really need is someone who speaks and trains for a living, because they know what they need behind the scenes, and I can help them do that. So I talked myself into that job. And actually, I still do that for them a couple times a year. Now I make $25 an hour. But I get a lot of work done. It's like I listen to, what that helped me do is listen to facilitators doing a 6 hour long online class and knowing how to relate to people.
Okay.
So it's, and I just looked at the perfection of that, that I didn't need to get a job like at, you know, Walmart or something. I just needed something that I felt that money was coming in. Mm-hmm. And that, I mean, I knew I was never going to be thrown into the onto the street or anything, because in December of 2020, Scott got called back into work. But I think January of 2021 was really a dark time. And even taking that little glimmer of hope of taking a job for $22 an hour mm-hmm. got me through.
Good, good. Well, okay, so here we are. We're in the late summer, I guess we would call it, of 2022. What do you have planned for the fourth quarter of the year that wasn't on your books when summer started?
Projects well,
you're looking at?
Well, a couple things. Number one, lead times are a lot shorter than they used to be. So it's like my fall, all of a sudden it was empty and now it's filling up nicely. So that's very exciting. And the fact that I only had one event on the books for to travel in August and they decided to go virtual, but they're letting, and I'm keeping the money from the live event where I don't have to travel to doing the same thing virtual. So it gives me basically a month to work on my business. But the most exciting thing that happened is my mother turns 80 next year. And I told her I'd take her anywhere she wanted to go for her birthday. And I thought she'd want to go to Barbados or something, spend some time with our cousin there. And she wanted to go to Disney. So I knew that if I took my mother to Disney and I did not take my husband, he would divorce me, because he is the biggest Disney fan on the planet. And we haven't been there since our honeymoon. So, and Disney is just, it's crazy. Not only the prices, it's just insane how you have to do all of this stuff for Disney. Well, at Influence, I got a buddy, and I didn't want a buddy. I was kicking and screaming, but Michael Goldberg, you know, talked me into getting a buddy. So I got two of them. One I connected with, the other one never did. Turns out that this woman is a member of Disney Vacation Club, and she saved me more than $5,000 on the two-bedroom condo that we are going to be at Disney. So
there is a plug for Michael Goldberg and Knockout Networking. He did a great job on the buddy program, because I didn't even attend Influence and I had two buddies. So we'll figure that one out later. If someone said to you, Lisa, we're going to give you 10 times the amount of money currently in your budget, and you can do anything with it you want, how would you spend it to further your career?
I would hire a lot more of what I do out. I do way too much stuff on my own. Like, I really want to have a video course. I want to have more of an online presence. And actually, I've signed up for kind of a done for you type of thing, but I still have to write the scripts and I still have to do all that. So I would work on my new demo reel, which I'm starting to put together, but that also entails watching hours of video of yourself, which is really painful. and deciding what you want to be in the real. I'm putting together a new website because mine, even though it still converts, it's 5 years old. So it's time to upgrade that. And so I think that those are the two main things. And I think just, again, hiring, I would hire a lot more of the stuff that I'm currently doing right now. I'm just doing way too much. I had three VAs before the pandemic. When COVID happened, I let them all go. And now I've gotten into the horrible habit of doing everything myself again. And I got to let that go.
I think that's a problem a lot of us have. Delegation is tough, but necessary.
Yes, it is.
But necessary.
Yep.
Is there an occupation that you would love to try if you had the opportunity?
I would be a rock star. It's just a shame I can't sing.
But you know, you can play air guitar.
Be an 80s rock star, because that's when the music was the best.
I'm not arguing that one. I'll go with the 70s into the 80s. Is that okay?
Yeah, there you go.
So let me say this. And I know you said earlier that you had, I want to say, spent a lot of money buying hope. If you had someone come to you, we talked about the buddy program, and we've got somebody just starting off in speaking, what advice would you give them to help them avoid some of the pitfalls that fell on you by hiring hope?
And I do have this conversation with new speakers a lot, but I also let them know that I am not the rainbow and unicorns person to talk to when it comes to, you know, happy, happy, joy, joy building a speaking business, because it is harder and more expensive than anybody possibly thinks that it can be. So what I do is basically figure out, you know, what's your market? What's your message? Who's your market? And if you have a message, who's going to pay you for that? Because people don't care about your story. When I first started speaking, I was going to be talking about gratitude, and this was 2010. Nobody was paying for gratitude back then, as one of my friends, you know, patted me on the arm and let me know. So I changed the message to employee engagement and retention. So you have to figure out a message and who's going to pay that for you, and then start doing the work. Those three words, do the work, is all you need. Of joining NSA or making friends who are speakers who can guide you the right way, not falling prey to the countless people who see you as a new speaker and are more than willing to take your money and give you nothing in return. But it's because nobody's going to do it for you. You have to do the work, particularly at the beginning. You're not going to hire somebody to make calls for you. You're going to speak for free at the beginning, so you can see what resonates with people. Where do they laugh? How many people are coming up to you after one of those sessions and saying, hey, that was great. How much do you charge? Because if they're not, your speech isn't good enough to get paid yet. So I have really strong feelings and conversations when I'm talking to new people. They probably get off and never want to get on the phone with me again, but at least I tell them the real side of the story, that it's a tough business. And then on the other hand, I can't imagine doing anything else. Every cent that I've spent, every experience that I've had, I wouldn't trade it for anything, because I love doing what I do, and I can't imagine spending my life any other way.
That's awesome. Yeah, I would say, as you say that, my mentor told me the speaking business is the easiest business to get into and the hardest business to stay in.
Absolutely.
And that's what people need to learn. And by the way, that comes from me, who Ed calls Mr. Grumpy. So I am not unicorns and rainbows either. Let me ask, is there anything that I didn't ask you that you're sitting there going, oh my God, thank God he didn't ask me that?
I think I've aired a lot of my dirty laundry. Usually I don't talk about, you know, cocaine and the IRS on a podcast. So,
you know, no, you did good. You did good on that. So people on the Cigar Peg will listen to this interview, and you're easy to find, but just remind us, how can people find Lisa Ryan if they want to talk to her? What's the best way to get a hold of you?
My website is lisaryanspeaks.com, and I am all over LinkedIn. I'm not as much on Facebook as I used to be because of those darn reels. I actually took Facebook off of my homepage on my phone because I was wasting too much time on it. So I have to physically make myself go to Facebook by finding it in the App Store. But LinkedIn is great, or just send me an email to lisa@gratigy.com.
You got it. Thank you. And Lisa, before we close out, you've got a moment or two to say to Cigar Peg something you want to say, something you want to share. Is there anything?
I am so extraordinarily grateful to my friends in Cigar Peg. I mean, I'm most grateful to Ed Rigsby, who, in April of 2020, when we knew that influence wasn't going to happen, and Ed made the commitment to us that every Wednesday we were getting on Zoom. And for a while, it was just nice to see people and talk to people and check in and see what was going on. And then as it grew, it grew into my tribe. I mean, I look at people like, Val Grubb, and I look at Amber, and so many. So, I could just go on and on about the people who I've met for the first time, through Cigar Peg that I didn't know before. And people like, Mary Kelly and Carolyn Strauss, who I knew, but more connected with, and of course, Elaine Pasqua. So I can go on and on with the women of Cigar Peg. And then all of, it's such a unique friendship that, and it's safe to go to. I know that I can have the kind of day that I want. I can share it with my friends. I have people that are building all different types of business. From all different types of backgrounds that I know that I can support with. I mean, I bought Ray Leon, so that should be interesting to work with him for a couple of days. Jeremy Torres had me come into his Florida chapter, and we got to hang out, going to the masterminds in Key West and Vegas and hanging out with just brilliant, brilliant people. It would be like the Academy Awards, like the music would be starting to play by the time I got done thanking everybody.
No, and I think we all feel that way about Cigar Peg. We love Cigar Peg. So on your behalf, I'll say that all of us wish we could thank every single person. We know that you forgot one or two people, but they still feel the love. So yes. People, if she missed you, it was not intentional. It's because the interviewer cut her off and stopped her from talking. Don't blame Lisa. And ladies and gentlemen, and my friends, that was today with Lisa Ryan in the Cigar Lounge. And we thank you, our listener members. Please join us every 2 weeks as we drop a new episode, placing another Cigar Peg member in the spotlight of the Cigar Lounge.